Lord, we do pray that in these last days that you would do the work of revival. Not only would you recover all things, the reality of our service, but in our daily lives, may our hearts be recovered back to that simplicity. We pray that you would recover our desire for you, so that upon us, that you would do that amazing work, and that in these end days, may we be faithful and with great rejoicing wait for your return. In your name we pray, amen. Lord, we thank you. This morning, you've given us this time so that our hearts, as we desire after you, we desire after the waters like a deer. You have given us such a precious opportunity that together we can gather before your throne of grace and hear your words of grace. And so give us a heart like Mary, that together as we sit at your feet, you have given us the very best to us, that through your words, you have given us yourself. We wait for you and for this meeting, for the ones who speak, and with all our brothers and sisters, together we place ourselves into your gracious hand. Thank you. And through this way, in your spirit, do be with us abundantly. We give you all the praise and worship. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. 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 Dear Lord, we thank you with all our hearts. Through your salvation, you have given yourself entirely to us. You have not withheld anything from us. And so in our hearts, we do desire that we would not withhold anything from you so that you may gain us in its entirety. We regret that in our past years, even though our entire being have been redeemed by you, but within us, there are many things that have not been given to you. We have not allowed you to come and deal with us. And so, Lord, for the urgency of the times, for the shortness of the days that we have, may you show us mercy so that we have this desire that we would give you more. May you gain more of us. And so from within us, may you be pleased. Do be with us. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. As we begin, for this particular gathering, I do want to share with brothers and sisters the purpose. Last time we have already said, We're using Paul's word in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Brothers and sisters, if possible, let's read it together. Let's read it all together. This is Philippians chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 12. Let's listen to the saints read it once in Chinese and then once in English. In English, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. This very last phrase, in Paul's meaning, is that he desires that we could be more laid hold of by Christ Jesus. So we need to imitate Paul, to press on so that Christ may gain more of us. This is the main purpose for why we gather. We have said before that we want to follow according to these four paths as we pursue together. Our content first is that we are seeking after good daily habits. We want to have good habits. Secondly, we need to be very familiar with Scripture. We hope that towards God's word, we can be more mature and well-trained. We need to be very familiar with his words. The third is that we need to learn to follow and submit the teaching of the anointing. This is very important. So that in our daily lives, we would not lack this most important thing, that we would follow the teaching of the anointing. And then the fourth aspect is that according to some of spiritual church history, according to some of the saints of the past, according to their good examples and books and messages, we do hope that we can have some good introduction of those works in the past. Now, brothers and sisters, you ought to be very clear as to how we are to have the Lord gain more of us. It is through these four different aspects. Now, today, particularly, as we begin, we want to first ask all brothers and sisters to memorize God's word. We thank the Lord, the brothers and sisters in Minneapolis, they have already memorized chapter 1 of Colossians. And so today they're going to memorize it for us. Brother Andrew just told me earlier, not only did they memorize the Chinese, but also the English. So we're going to listen to them and we will follow along in both Chinese and English. And so for you at home, if you have memorized it, so don't look at your Bible, let's memorize together with them. Chinese follow Chinese, English will be in English. And for the older brothers and sisters, 50 and above, do your best. You can read along in your Bible. You can read it quietly on your own. So now we're going to give the time to Brother Andrew. How are you going to share? We're going to give the time to him. So the Chinese first. We thank the Lord that brothers and sisters have memorized this passage. I encourage brothers and sisters to memorize scripture. The purpose is not because you have an intelligent mind and you need to remember it, but I do hope that brothers and sisters, that you can be diligent in God's word. We know that in this generation, something that causes us to feel sorrowful is that those who are truly diligent in God's words, they are very few. In the past hundreds of years, there have been brothers and sisters who used a lot of effort, and they brought in the revival of the church and brought in great blessing. And so even though we cannot be just like them, in that condition, but we do hope that among brothers and sisters, we can still find some who are diligent in God's word. Now, memorizing his word is the first step. When I was young, it was the same. I memorized. There's a great difference between whether or not you have memorized or not, whether you have been diligent or not. If you memorize word for word, it's different from when you normally read the Bible, because now you need to be very detailed. You need to be very careful and detailed. In these years, I realize, even though I have been saved for so many years and have preached so much, yet when I read his words carefully, I realize there's many things that I still do not know. And so in all our life, we will not be able to fully understand. So our understanding is very limited. But now not only are you very detailed and careful, but you can enter into its depths. Now you can go deeper. That is the first step if you memorize. And so I thank the Lord for brothers and sisters in Minneapolis. Today, you memorized all of Colossians 1. I hope that this will stimulate brothers and sisters, that no matter whether or not your memory is good or poor, may you use it to memorize God's word. So we hope that you can be very familiar with God's word. Let's mutually encourage one another. Now, this next period of time, we're going to ask some brothers and sisters to share a little bit in their experience of submitting and obeying the teaching of the anointing. How did you follow the teaching of the anointing? You are not here to preach, but just share with us the facts. Share with us your story. Because this time, perhaps brothers and sisters are not very clear. What exactly are we doing here? And so let me tell you, brothers and sisters, among the children of God, it is very prevalent that those who truly follow the teaching of the anointing, it doesn't seem like there are many. It's not that there aren't any. I have heard some brothers and sisters, their sharing is very good. But this time, in our pursuit, this aspect is very important. And so this time, I thank the Lord that there are two brothers here in Seattle. They're willing to give us an intro. Now, we do need to watch the time carefully. You cannot go past 10 minutes. This will also be a good training for us, an aspect of our training of how you can watch the time. Some people's story is not very long, but with great clarity of speech, that you can tell your story clearly. And you are, since we're just beginning, do allow me to speak a little bit more. I do hope that gradually our meeting will have a good flow. Those who have had good experience, that you have received much, And actually, the experience that the Lord gives to you individually is for the whole body. And so grab a hold of this opportunity. If the Lord has moved you in your own location, together with other responsible brothers, do mention to that person or those people so that they could tell us. If it's you individually, please forward your moving, your sharing to Brother Jen Hui. He is one who's responsible for this online gathering, and he will give it to me. And according to brothers and sisters' priorities, we will give you your number, because there is a limitation of time. We can't have everybody come and share. And so according to the priority list of who's put their name, we will select three, at most four, who will have some sharing with us. May this be an encouragement, a mutual encouragement and reminder for all of us, because we need to follow the teaching of the anointing in our daily lives. And so in Seattle, we have two brothers who are willing to share. First one is Brother Lee, and then Brother Juan. One will use Chinese and our Brother Juan will use English. Later on, if there's a little bit of time and in your heart you have a moving that before our time, 11 o'clock, that you can also add in your sharing. We'll give the time to Brother Ma and Brother Juan. Our Brother Ma Li will share. My experience is that many years ago in my daily life at work, this is an experience of how the Lord led us. This was roughly 2004. I was at a company working, and the headquarters was in California, and here I am in Seattle. And in Seattle, there was only maybe about a dozen or so people. And the project came from the headquarters. But because of our general manager here in Seattle, there were some conflicts. I won't go into that detail. There were some conflicts among the leadership. And so we couldn't get along to participate in this project. So in headquarters, they wanted to give this project to me to do. And my manager said, "Don't do this. Don't cooperate with headquarters." And so before the Lord, I sought after him. Generally, we need to do what is right. And of course, doing what is right is very basic as a Christian. And so I ought to do my work well. And so I asked the Lord to lead me in my work, whether or not I should do this or not. And then later on, if I need to do this project, I need others to help me as well. And so there was great pressure on me. So when I went back before the Lord, I had this sense, I need to do what is right. So I decided, that I was going to do this. I had a good friend in my company. He was a classmate of mine. After work, with great anxiety, he came to me. The manager had already told him to tell me not to do this project, that I need to be prepared, that I might lose my job. At that time, he was really, really stressed out. And at that time, the work of the Spirit is amazing. To me, of course, there was great pressure. But the Holy Spirit, within a very interesting way, really poured himself out into me. I could not have imagined it. I had great peace. I had no stress. And I went to seek him, seek the Lord, in my daily life, in my work. All these things are held in the hand of our God. And so God told me and gave me this peace that I didn't need to worry. He is in control of all things. Another reason that I had peace, that there was another person, this classmate who had come, we invited him to church, and he became a Christian. And so in my heart, this peace was very true, because this was the anointing, the oil within me that I could not have imagined. And so when I told my coworker this, I went back home, and at night, after our children went to bed, I started to think about this. And then when I started to think about it, I started to have stress because I was looking at the environment again. Of course, my children were still very young at that time. I needed to take care of the things at home. After I put them to bed, I went to the living room, to the sofa, and I knelt before God to pray. I don't know how long I prayed, but all of a sudden I heard from the roof, I heard some very clear rain and hail sounds. It was a very clear and loud sound, as if it was something that was ringing within me that seemed to wake me up. When I looked out the window, perhaps because I was kneeling for so long, but all of a sudden, I saw a very clear starry night. Like the Holy Spirit said, "This is the creation that your Father has created. What have you to fear?" Now, God can cause all things to work together for good. He was able to wake me up in my inward condition and to see this outward universe that God has created. And he gave me great comfort. And this peace came into my heart. The next day, I went to work and I went to speak with another manager to talk with him. And he also was convinced that I should do this. And then we still completed this project. And everybody was satisfied and happy. And my friend also, who came to know the Lord, and oftentimes we do talk about this matter, and gradually this coworker talks about it. He says, "I'm so surprised at that time. Why? Why was it that I was so surprised about this? Because I said, it's not me. It's the same for me. It wasn't me. This was the Holy Spirit who was doing this special work in me. It was the Lord's work in me." Yes, the Holy Spirit in me, he's willing to lead us, willing to work in us. Now, for me, myself, my problem is that oftentimes we're not willing to submit. I neglect the moving of the Spirit within. So whether in great matters or small things, the Holy Spirit is working. And so today, at about 3 a.m., of course, we're still asleep, but all of a sudden, there was this call on my cell phone. It was an American. His name was Ryan from Philadelphia. This person that I don't know, perhaps he made a wrong call. Or perhaps it was an ad. It was 3 in the morning. And so I thought, I'm not going to pick this up. But then all of a sudden, there was this thought inside me. Perhaps there's something urgent. I should pick up this call. When I picked up this call, it was a brother from the Far East. And it was an urgent matter. Something had happened in a young family here in Seattle. I'm not going to go into detail now, but what I want to say is that, again, we connected with the brothers and sisters' parents in China, and we were able to pray together. And so whether in great matters or in small things, it is the Spirit who is speaking in our heart. The promise of our Lord Jesus is that he will give us the Holy Spirit and he will never leave us. This is very true and real. And so this is something we can experience. And what I need to learn is to often obey, listen, pay attention. This is my sharing. And next, Brother Juan, he will share in English. We still have a little bit of time. We can have one more person. I'm going to open up the time for brothers and sisters. If you have a good story, you cannot go past 10 minutes, just like our brothers. 5 to 6 minutes is fine. You can share your experience with everyone. We do welcome it. Our sister asks, Brother San, can I share? And our brother says, yes, you cannot go past 10 minutes. Our sister says, I just thought of this. Last night, after Bible study, I had this thought, and I was seeking after the Lord. Lord, what are you saying to me? And at that time, I had some things to do at home, so I wasn't really paying attention, but I did ask the Lord. And I had this sense that I need to go read Brother T. Austin Sparks. He has a book called Open Windows. Perhaps you know, it is a daily devotional. I read it very rarely, but yesterday I went and I read it. But because I didn't really pay close attention, it was very short. I didn't really have too much thought about it, and I was very tired. And I said, let me just go to bed. And this morning when I got up, I was praying. Again, I thought of the same thought from last night, that the Lord wants to say something to me, but I don't understand. So I said to the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want to say? Open up my ears. So I opened up my Bible, and it was very short. It was 1 Corinthians 13. But I was very blurry or foggy in mind, like I couldn't have fellowship with the Lord. And at this time, it was like the Lord told me to go back to read that short devotional. Brother T. Austin Sparks, in that small section, it was from 2 Corinthians 13, sorry. And so at this time, my heart was very clear as to what the Lord wanted to say to me, exactly what the question I had. And I'm not going to go into detail about that, but I do feel that from this I learned that I really need to fear the Lord. I need to pay more close attention to pursue him. That as I'm doing things, I just think about things randomly. But if he wanted me to read this, my heart wasn't quiet. But this morning, as I was quiet and praying, it was very different as I read the passage, and the Lord used it to speak to me. This is my sharing. Brother San said, is Open Windows Brother Fromke? Open Windows is Brother T. Austin Sparks. A Larger Windows is from Brother Fromke. Open Windows is from T. Austin Sparks. It's a daily devotional that's online. Thank you. In following the teaching of the anointing, there are many, many examples. Let me give you an example from myself, just to very simply speak it. Many years ago, on our Tuesday night prayer meeting, after it had finished, it was already past 9, maybe around 9:30. All of a sudden, I had this moving that I need to go and visit a brother and sister. And at that time, I found a brother next to me. In my heart, I thought, isn't it kind of late? It's already past 9:30 p.m. And I said to this brother, let's go together to visit this brother and sister. And he said, it's so late. Because to drive from our church building to our brother and sister's home, it needed to take about 30-some minutes. And when we get there, it'd be about 10 o'clock. But then there was this moving in my heart. The Lord had said to me, so we went that night. I thank the Lord. As soon as we met that brother and sister, they told us that they had just moved here from another state. They said we were just considering, and we didn't know where to go for our meeting, for our gathering. The Lord has sent you to come. It is so wonderful. So, brothers and sisters, you see, when the Holy Spirit sometimes moves us, we need to learn to obey in the matter of service and in our daily life. If you are a little bit more sensitive to listen, there are many different things, many such examples. And so from here on out, in these examples, please share with us, even in 3 minutes, you can tell us, so that we can have mutual encouragement. The Lord wants to stimulate all of us, to remind us that we need to pay attention to the Holy Spirit in our life, how He is leading us. Perhaps in the past, we have neglected this. When He moves us, we don't even pay attention. So from here on, we hope that there'll be more sharing from our brothers and sisters so that we can have more experiences. Are there any other brothers and sisters within 3 to 5 minutes you can give us a testimony? Our sister Wu Jing. This is a very small matter, something that happens a lot in our daily lives. I needed to use a public restroom, and I saw something had fallen down, and I needed to throw it away in the trash. It's just kind of like that, but a little different. A few days ago, I went to Costco. I needed to put something back onto a cart. And then I heard, we were returning our shopping carts after shopping, and I saw that an elderly person returned their cart, but it was slipping because there was a slope. So there was a voice inside me that I need to go and put that shopping cart back. But I said, it's that perhaps there's germs on that shopping cart that other person had used. I don't really want to touch it. But then the Lord said to me that germs is not my Lord and Master. I am. And so I stood there. I was arguing with the Lord. And I said, it's really dirty. There's germs on it. And now the shopping cart's no longer slipping and moving around. It's fine. And then the Holy Spirit stopped speaking to me. And all of a sudden, I remember that in scripture, it says that sisters need to have their head covered. It is for the angels. And this is a symbol of authority. And all of a sudden I said, okay, fine. I need to go back and put that shopping cart back. It's because I live before even the angels. There's a testimony before those that are watching me. This is a symbol of authority. His redemption and salvation is upon me, and it has an effect in me, even though my obedience to the Spirit is very slow. But because of His words and because of His moving, I'm willing to do this, even though it's a small matter. And at that time, at first, I was hesitant. But because of this word and for the sake of the body, I need to live out and express the symbol of His authority, even though it's a very silly matter. But this is my sharing. We thank the Lord in our daily life. Yes, our brothers and sisters sharing. If you pay attention, yes, there are many opportunities. Today, it's all brothers and sisters in Seattle who have shared with us. I believe it's not here just in Seattle, but I do believe in other locations. But now we don't have time. No worries. If you have a moving in your heart, do let us know so next time we can arrange. I do believe many brothers and sisters, we can have an order. If your name comes first, you can go first. Now here, I do want to mention, why do we need to obey the teaching of the anointing? This is a very important matter because God has sent the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within us. This is not a small matter. This is a great matter. Can you imagine? The Holy Spirit is God. He dwells in you, and he wants every single aspect of your daily life to have a portion in him. He wants to govern. He wants to support. He wants to provide. This is such a great matter. And so if you neglect this, it's so sad. Among some Christians, they are very diligent. However, the result of their diligence is that they do the wrong thing. And that's also very sad. All your effort and energy was in vain. But if you follow the teaching of the anointing, then he will direct you to do that which is right and walk on the right path. And then all that you do will have spiritual value. So brothers and sisters, among the children of God in all locations, this is something that is greatly neglected. We hear preaching, we hear messages, we hear people speaking, and we hear rules, but we don't know how to follow the teaching of the anointing. This is so tragic and sad. Let me give you an example. Many of you are students. Perhaps you are scholars and researchers and you are in graduate school. When you do research, you need to have a mentor, right? An advisor. When you begin, you need an advisor and a professor who's your advisor. That advisor will need to take a look at to whether what you do is right or wrong. What are the things you need to correct? What you need to pay more emphasis on? I don't need to mention this. Now, I never went to graduate school, but I do know that an advisor beside you is very important. For many of you who are students, you all know, oh goodness, my advisor, his temperament is so strange. Just like my daughter-in-law, she had a terrible advisor. Every day when she came home, she would cry because she had such a strange and difficult advisor. When you meet such a professor, you want to find someone else. And then when she found someone else, there was somebody who really cared for her and taught her well. And very quickly, she was able to finish her PhD. So in this aspect, this is very real, right? In the same way, in spiritual things, without the teaching and the leading guidance of the Holy Spirit, without the teaching of the anointing within us, brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful. It's very possible the things that we do not follow the requirements of God. So no matter how much you strive and have effort and use time, at the end, it was all in vain. And so this time, as we pursue before the Lord together, we hope that we could pull our spiritual lives back upon the right path, according to the principle of Scripture, that we would follow it, not according to what you imagine, not according to what someone else says, and of course, not according to Christian tradition. We need to follow the teaching of the anointing. It is very, very important. From the most detailed thing, we need to obey the command of the Spirit. This matter is not, we cannot overemphasize it. Oftentimes in my daily life, in my speech, I was taught by him. In my service, I was taught by him. Even in my thinking, I had to be taught by him. To me, this is something very true and real. Oftentimes today, many Christians, we just have an outward life. We don't know how the Holy Spirit is instructing us within us, and it is precious. So this time we need to overemphasize this even more. And so brothers and sisters, if you have good experiences and good stories, please don't hold back. Of course, today we don't have an opportunity. We'll wait till next time. Do tell us earlier so that we may know. And when you tell us your name, and where you gather, please. What location you are in. Where you live, or what state you are in, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, doesn't matter, do tell us so that we may know. And do share with us a little bit of your testimony. So from here on out, perhaps the first half of it, we will use it to memorize scripture and to fellowship about our experiences in following the teaching of the anointing. And if you have read any good books and you want to introduce it, do also let me know beforehand so we can arrange some time. You need to be very concise in your words within 10 minutes. This is a good training. Don't think within 10 minutes is very easy. Within 10 minutes, be very concise and to the point. Let me tell you an experience. There have been many conferences in the past. In the past, I would often lead songs. And then elderly brother would often tell me, next time you are to lead songs, but watch the time. You only have 10 minutes, including the verses, all the verses of the song. You have to stay within 10 minutes. And sometimes morning devotion, when they ask us to share, you only have 10 minutes. So I thank the Lord. This to me was very good training. So one time in a meeting, during morning devotions, I used 10 minutes. I had 7 to 8 points. And our elderly brother, he was very happy. He came to me and says, "Brother Sun, this is pretty good. Within 10 minutes, you gave us 7 to 8 points. I know many people, they speak 20 minutes at one time or go past 20 minutes. So the brothers of the past tell us that regarding watching the time, this is a training of your character. This is very important. This is a character training. I know anybody could speak a lot, but regarding your character, you need to be trained. So brothers and sisters, do honor this matter of time according to the opportunity given to you before the Lord. Let's all learn together. For the next period of time, we have some important sharing regarding our experiences. Last time I already told brothers and sisters, in our spiritual life, we need to develop good habits. We talked about how individually or personally we need to have develop good spiritual habits. Now today I want to use some time to share about the corporate or church life, how we are to develop good corporate church life habits. In these years, I feel that a lot of things, it's not just the head knowledge or not even reason or revelation. It's not a matter of those things. A lot of times, it's because we have bad habits. It causes to have bad things happen in our daily lives because we have bad habits. So even in church life, we cannot have the good condition we need to have. Habits is very, very important. And so here, because these are our first two gatherings, so forgive me for repeating a bit. Sometimes I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, you hear it and you forget it. So I want to repeat again. Last time we said, in our spiritual life, there are four keys. Do you remember? There are four important keys you need to remember. These four keys, first is life. This life will put you in your right category. All species, all things are categorized according to the life you have. This is what we see in Genesis 1. This is God's amazing arrangement. Each life and species do not intermingle. It is very, very special. Why? Because God, according to this, one day he wants to give his life to us. This life is the same. It is a different category. It cannot have any mixture within it. Please remember this. God, according to this life that he has given to us, in his own life, he has separated us out of all creation. That is why we are called a new creation. We are a new creation. We are not categorized within the old creation, the boundaries of the old. How can we enter into the new? He has given us new life. So, brothers and sisters, this is a great thing. In God's heart, he wants all of us who have been saved by grace to be now recategorized within the boundaries of his own life. So that is why we are called a new race, a new creation. Now, of course, after you have this new life, the second key is that you must have a living. Only that which do not have life are not living. All that which have life are living. If you look at small animals, big animals, or even small insects, as long as it has life, it will have a living. In this living, it will express the characteristics and the nature, the abundance of that life. As a human, some show a very abundant human life. And some who do not have good living do not express the good aspects of this life. Now, our Lord Jesus, why did he come in the flesh? So that he can gain this human life that is a normal human life. The life that we need to have that's normal before God. See how important this is? When our Lord Jesus was on earth for 33 and a half years, through his physical body, he lived out God's life and characteristic and completely expressed and manifested it. That is why he is the expression of the glory of God. He expressed the beauty of God. We need the four gospels to see it. And later on, the apostles, each one of them in their own experience, in the church experience, we see the life of God, the life of Christ. So if you have life, you have a living. Don't think that this is a very simple word. To us, to many of us Christians today, if you really carefully think about it and look at the condition of the church today, God has given us new life. However, we've placed it aside. We don't even care about it. And you still live in what? You live in your old nature, your old life. Do you remember this last phrase that I mentioned? New life plus the old nature equals the old living. This is an equation. Do you remember this? This is why we live the old life, because you have not lived within the new life. You have not allowed that new life to be expressed. You live according to the nature that you were given previously. So how could you live out the nature of a Christian? So new life plus that old life equals old living. New life plus that new nature equals that new living or new lifestyle. And so I hope that every move, every action in our being would be new. Oftentimes, our every action and movement is old. This is a very simple matter. If you have life, you will have a living or a lifestyle. And if you have a living, you will have habits, a lifestyle. All of us have different habits. A good spiritual life, you need to have good spiritual habits. And last time I already mentioned, habits cannot create life, but it can change your living. Now that you've gotten up earlier in the morning, now you're more spiritual? No, doesn't work like that. Not necessarily. You've fasted for a long time, for many days, and now you've become more spiritual? No, not necessarily. Good habits can change our spiritual living, but it doesn't create life. But habits do impact our living. And I already talked about this last time. I'm not going to repeat that. But I do hope, brothers and sisters, that you will meditate and think about this. Now, where do good spiritual habits come from? You need to have good training. Many habits gradually, little by little, come about like that. Have you paid attention to the habits of your daily life? It wasn't like it changed just one night over one day, but gradually over many years is how you got those habits. So we need to have good training. That is why Paul in the book of Timothy, that we need to have training. Now in this training, brothers and sisters, let me just add on another thing. There are two important principles. One, we need to cultivate. Cultivation, it needs to be cultivated. In training, you need to expend effort. It needs to be cultivated. In a garden, if you do not cultivate and take care of it, and it will become a wild garden. It will grow however way it wants. Some people, why are their yards so beautiful? It's because somebody is taking care of it. When Adam was placed in the garden, he was there to take care of it. If the Garden of Eden was not taken care of, it would have grown like a wild place. So we need to have cultivation. Not only that, but in this training, there needs to be a form. Now we need to talk about the church form. If you have good spiritual habits gradually, it will have a particular form. From the first century, from the apostles, each one of them all had their own spiritual habits. Some of them gradually became like Paul. Gradually, we saw a particular form that appeared from that. It's the same way for the church. So that is why we need training. Good habits come out of training. It comes from cultivation and a form. So these are four important keys of our spiritual life. I hope that you can remember this well. Don't just hear this as a message. After you hear it, you forget it, and it's very pitiful. This is us pursuing before the Lord. You need to often remember and think about this. Do you remember these four keys? First is life. Second is living. Third is habits. And the fourth is training. After we talk about these four keys, we know that whether individually or corporately, the principles are all there. Now we know that in church life is something that as a Christian we cannot lack. Church life is a life that we need to have. A Christian cannot be on their own. We need to live within the body. And as a body, as we are together, the most practical expression of this is the church life. In our church life, we are in a corporate body. And this is where we express the life and the abundance of Christ. In Ephesians 1:23, it's very important. It tells us that the church is the body of Christ, and he is the fullness of all that fills all. And so, yes, Christ can express himself very abundantly within us personally. There's many brothers and sisters who love the Lord. They express the fullness of Christ. However, no matter how good your expression of Christ is, it cannot attain to fullness. the fullness of God must be expressed through the corporate body, through the body. So brothers and sisters, the corporate life is very important. Now we know that in corporate life, if you can express the fullness of the life of Christ, there are four important points. There are four criteria. In good church life, first, we need to have a pure and clean spiritual atmosphere. Sadly, many places, the atmosphere is not pure. It is not pure and clean. Why is it not pure? Because man has brought in the things of the world, and man's flesh is not restrained. The flesh, the natural life, there's too much of it. Man's wisdom, man's expressions and feelings, there's too much of it. And so the atmosphere of the gathering is not clean. In such a polluted place, it is very difficult to live. When you go into a gathering and the atmosphere, the clean, that you have great and clean air then within you, then you have great freedom. Brothers and sisters, this is not a logical teaching, but it is something that cannot be more real. In our corporate living, in our corporate church life, the very first thing we need to have a spiritual atmosphere. In the past, I have also mentioned about this in some gatherings, so I won't go into detail here. Secondly, in church life, we need to have light. Where does this light come from? It comes from revelation. This light is not something that tradition can give us. This light is also not man's scholarly intelligence, but it comes from revelation. I'll never forget, in the 1960s in Taiwan, I remember, because from 1955 on, Brother T. Austin Sparks from England brought in the light of revelation to us in Taiwan. And within us, we really experienced something very special. And later we realized that in life, in our church life, we need to have light. We cannot live in darkness. So brothers and sisters, we need to come to understand that in the natural life, it cannot bring in spiritual light. So we hope that brothers and sisters, you'll grab a hold of this principle, the light of revelation. The third thing, we need to have the provision of living water. We need to have the waters of life, the fountain of life. All things need to be living. We need to have the words of life. It is illustrated by water, illustrated by springs of fountains of waters. Because not only does this quench our thirst, but in church life can quench thirst. We see many places, brothers and sisters, after the meeting, people are not, they are still thirsty. Forgive me for saying, because I want to emphasize these points. I have gone to many meetings in different places, And then when I see brothers and sisters and they come and see me, as soon as they see me, they say, the very first thing they say is, "Brother Sun, we are so thirsty." And I said, "How could you be so thirsty?" Because they say, "I've been so dry here. There haven't been any water." Brothers and sisters, in waters of living waters, it's not using just eloquent, beautiful words and you are able to speak well, so now you can satisfy people. But no, you need to have words of life. And then in church, we will have rivers of living water. Because one day when we come into eternity in New Jerusalem, you will see that there is a river of living water. When that water passes by, all the fruit trees will grow fruit, will bear fruit. Why? Because we do not have the provision of life. And so in our daily life, we need to have nourishment. When I say this, if you have been saved and you have the life of a Christian, you understand what I'm saying. What does it mean that in your life you are nourished or not? You ought to be very clear about that. So a good gathering can give nourishment to people. Sometimes when you come to a gathering, not only your own thirst was solved, but you are now nourished. Why do we say that the conferences are so good and we want to attend conferences? Because there are many, many different brothers who provide life, and then we are nourished. And then you find that that meeting is very good. Today in our local gatherings, it is the same. It is very important. The fourth point, in church life, there needs to be a provision of food, of spiritual food. God's house is a house of bread. It's not a life that's constantly hungering. Now, of course, brothers and sisters, we know that in John chapter 6, it tells us that he is the living bread that comes from heaven. Only Christ is our food, our spiritual provision. We cannot bring other things outside of Christ as our food. The church should only provide Christ. When you preach, when you share, when you pray, when you sing, you are providing Christ. God's house is a house that is abundant in food. As soon as you gather into this meeting, you are full. Your spiritual fullness, that sense is also a very real sense, right? Brothers and sisters, I don't know how long you've been saved from that day until today. Have you lived a life where you feel full? Or you're constantly living in a condition of being starved? You need to have food to be full. In the past, we have some older brothers and sisters says, "Oh, today we are so full within. We have greatly enjoyed and we are filled." Because as Chinese, we like to eat good food. It's not just to eat well, not just to eat a lot, but we want to enjoy the food. This is the fourth important point. The fifth point is the main thing that we want to share about today. We need to have good spiritual habits. In our meeting, we need to have good habits. These habits come naturally from our life. So today, this is what I want to share with brothers and sisters. In every meeting, we know that each individual meeting have their own habits. And so, of course, after you move, you go to a new place, you're not quite used to it. Why? Because you were used to some habits of previous churches. Many saints who are from other places, they come here, they say, "In the past, when I used to gather in that place, it used to be like that. But now here, I'm not used to it." Just like you have just come from China or Taiwan and you come here and you're not used to it because you were used to life how it was over there. Because in our daily life, we have habits. Church life is also the same. We have things that we're used to. Some people, they boast in their habits. Our church here. And so in the past, this matter of form church form is important. They think that their form, that in that church, is the one and only form. They are the most spiritual. Brothers, sisters, and sisters, aren't there situations like that? Yes. When you establish a church, there are things like this that happen. First, I want to remind everyone, and I say again, God doesn't emphasize in that particular form. What he emphasizes is life. What he emphasizes is something that's living. It's not a matter of whether or not you did everything accordingly to the plan, but you need to have life. So habits is naturally formed. It's not what has been learned. Why? Because it's very natural oftentimes for it to become a set form. Today in Christianity, we have all these denominations. Every denomination, they will have their traditions. You go into their gathering and they want to change you into that form, into that type of person. So why in church history, forgive me for saying, but some people say, I'm a Baptist. What is a Baptist? I am a Baptist person. Or there are people who say, I am Lutheran. And some say, I'm a Wesleyan. I remember when I was young, I met many classmates and different brothers and sisters. They said previously, they went to a Wesleyan church. You need to remember every day, you need to say, you are a Wesleyan. So brothers and sisters, every church, they have their different ways and forms and habits. Yes, there are good and there are bad. But whether it is good or bad, it needs to be living. It cannot be dead. So we say again, habits cannot give birth to life, but it will impact our living and our growth. So this is very, very important. And so from history, from Old Testament history, we already talked a little bit about it last time. Why did God want Israel to leave Egypt? At first, wasn't it that God could establish his house? That was a good land. Why can't he establish his tabernacle there in Egypt? God needed them to leave Egypt. He wanted them to leave Egypt. And now we understand, because the Israelites needed to depart from the habits and the ways of the Gentiles after 400 some years. If it were not for God's grace that watched over and protected their Hebrew blood, otherwise they would have all become Egyptians, just like here in America. After several decades, our children, outwardly they look like Chinese, but inwardly they're Americans. Everything that they do and say, they're all Americans. After several years here, they're not like Chinese anymore. They have the flavor of being an American. Why? Because their lifestyle has influenced them. And you go back to China and you realize they are different. You go back and you're uncomfortable. You're not used to it anymore. So in our habits, for God to change the habits of the Israelites, he had to move them out of Egypt. When God brought the entire nation of Israel out, he first brought Moses out, right? Now we understand, why did God first take Moses out? For 40 years out in the wilderness, he was really not used to it. God had to completely overhaul his lifestyle. So Moses, after he went into the wilderness again, he was used to it. It was the Israelites who were not used to it. After several decades in the wilderness life, Moses already had experience. He knew what it was like. But now, because the Israelites were not used to it, they gave him a great headache. Today in service, it is the same. As a Christian for many years, you are used to being a Christian. At first, when you were first saved, you hear another person speak and you say, oh my goodness, your words are so wrong. Your flavor in praying is so different. When they hear you pray, they also think it's very different. But gradually, after several years, that person's prayer becomes more like your prayers, and then the habits change, and you're getting more used to it. The picture from the Bible is also very, very important. It has a very important meaning here. So hear God. This is why the entire household of Israel, every person needs to come out. This was a huge revelation. All Christians need to come out. After being a Christian, we're not Chinese. We're not American. Sometimes in America, we say that there are Chinese who really miss life in China. And we see people here who are really not used to living life here. And there are some gatherings of Chinese students. And you hear that their accents are all about the same. They come here, and now because they don't like to speak English, those who've come over, they want to speak the accent of back in China. And those in Fuzhou speak the Fuzhou accent, and the Shanghainese have their Shanghainese accent. But brothers and sisters, you need to remember, all people need to leave Egypt. You need to come out of that which you have been comfortable with. Oftentimes when we tell the young people, today in the church, our format is not the American way, is not the Chinese way either. It's a Christian way. But do you see, brothers and sisters, this is so real. Israel, they left Egypt and they were so uncomfortable. They're so not used to it. When we leave the world, we're so not used to it. Are you used to it? We need to change. So every single person needs to leave. This was the command God gave to Moses. Not one person can remain in Egypt. Every person needs to come out. In changing this habit starts from our lifestyle, in our living. What they eat now is different. In the past, they had garlic and leeks and fish and meat. And next to the meat, they had fish. This really satisfies our appetites, right? But now that you've left it, every day you eat manna. That manna means, what is it? So today, when you come with the children of God and you tell them you need to eat this, and they say, what is it? What is this? It's manna. Today, this is what we eat. We eat, what is it? And so God, every day, was leading them to eat, what is it? To eat manna. And in that manna, perhaps the first day it tastes pretty good. It was like a wafer made of like coriander seed, and it was very sweet. Tastes kind of like a honey wafer, perhaps. The second day it tastes pretty good, but after a week it's okay. And then after a few months, 3 months, a year. And then all of a sudden they were saying, my goodness, this tastes so dull. We've so tired of it. Every day they were thinking back of their life in Egypt. This is the Christian life, right? Do you every day miss the world? Think about the world. After the meeting, you want to go and think of something in the world to go and enjoy of it a little bit? Of course, we are in the flesh. God understands. And so it was very difficult for the Israelites. For 40 years in the wilderness, in God's training, their entire lifestyle was different. Their clothes were different. How they walked was different. Now they had to walk according to God. Even their water that they drank was different. Previously, they drank water from the Nile. Now they have to drink the water that comes out of the rock. It's a great difference. Of course, God's water is much better than the Nile, because the Nile is not very clean. But the water that comes from the rock is pure and it will satisfy. So I say this, brothers and sisters, so you can think about it, right? And then the way they served was different. God at Mount Sinai gave them the standards for service. This is a very big topic. I have no way now to talk about it in detail. But God wants them to know how to serve God. So brothers and sisters, we need to understand how we are to serve God. This is very important. It's not according to Christian tradition, not according to the tradition of your fellowship or a person's way of doing things. In the Brethren movement, we know that there was a great change. They changed all of service. Not only did they come out of Catholicism, but also out of the Reformation. Now service changes. Now the way they worship is different. Previously in Egypt, they worshiped idols. This is how they did things. But now worship is in spirit and in truth. So we see that all of their lifestyle, everything had to be changed. Now can they enter into Canaan? But God still, he needed to give them Deuteronomy. Even Moses himself, he was worried. When you read the book of Deuteronomy, God is telling them a second time, a third time, a fourth time, when you go into Canaan, do not do as the Canaanites do. Do not marry with them, with the people of the land. He said this so clearly. But then, as soon as Israel went into Canaan, they went from Egypt into Canaan. Do you see? The habits of the Canaanites came into them. When you read the Bible, this is so clear. The Canaanites, the greatest, most two powerful sin. The first is sexual immorality, and the second was idolatry. These two things were very severe tactics of the enemy. And in these end days, when we see the sexual immorality of today, as well as idolatry of today, we also see the same. Of course, we're not going to go into that in great detail. But now that they've come into Canaan, they now entered into the influence and impact of the people of the land. They worshipped the idols of the people of Canaan. At first, those idols were dead, but they still worshipped it. Asherah and Baal. They copied everything that they saw. They even killing their own children to the god Moloch. So the Israelites in Canaan had a great failure. Not only did they worship idols, but through the several hundreds of years in Canaan, all the service that God has entrusted to them now became Judaism. What is Judaism? It is taking the living thing, but using it as a dead thing. God has given them a living service, but now they've made this into a religious thing. Previously, they took the dead and used that as living, but now they're taking the living and making that into dead service. Brothers and sisters, don't just laugh at it. It is very possible that we're doing the same thing. We have taken something that is living and made it into religion. All that God had entrusted to Israel, the law, the tabernacle, all these things were living, but now they used it into and made it into something that's very dead, into a religion. And of course, within it, brothers and sisters, if you to explain it, there's too many things. I can only very simply just go over it quickly. So brothers and sisters, we see that the requirements that God has for the Israelites is not only personally, but it is also corporately. First is to leave Egypt, to come out of the Egyptian lifestyle. Now, because of the Israelites' failure in the land of Canaan, at the end of their history, we see that they were taken captive into Babylon. Babylon is a place that is full of idols. It is a very confusing place where there's great immorality. For 70 years, they were there to take care of their idolatry. Even to today, we see that among the Israelites, there are no more idols. God had used this great punishment to take all the idols out of that nation. So first, the principle is that we need to come out of Egypt. Secondly, we need to come out of Babylon. And so that is why in Revelation we see that Christ calls out, "My people, come out of Babylon." This is a very, very important life change. But then we need to see and say that in our church gathering, this is very important too. Because God emphasizes our church gathering. The blessings that come from the church gathering oftentimes is much greater than that which is the blessing given to us in our personal life. This is why we gather together. Because within the corporate gatherings can we live out and see Christ's life from the gathering. You yourself personally cannot experience and see all of the fullness of Christ. So in your personal life and in the gathering, whether or not you can express the body of Christ is our testimony. Today when we speak of testimony, it's not just a logic or, but this is a great test for us. Take a look at your gatherings, your church life. Do you have a testimony? A testimony does not matter whether you have many people or few people. Do you have the reality of the expression of a body? Today, this is what we need to understand. This is why God calls us to gather together as a church. This is also another huge topic. We cannot use a short amount of time to talk about it in detail. Now, because God wants us to gather, and he emphasizes these gatherings, in church history, we see gradually many different forms of church gatherings have appeared, have been established. Now, two important principles I want to give to you first. When you establish the church gathering form, the two important principles first needs to be scripture, needs to be God's word. It is not according to what anyone else says. The second, it needs to be according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter where you go, what country you go to, what nationality, what ethnicity of people that you gather with. When God establishes a church, his church, the form of that gathering needs to be according to these two principles. So the formality of how a church gathers needs to be natural, is a very natural way. Now I need to say first that in church history, how these church forms were established, there was a very normal, and however, there was also a wrong way. Let me first talk about the ways that it was established in a very normal way. There are some important points here. First, there was an understanding of truth. The leaders of any gathering, they followed the scripture, they followed Bible. For example, like our table meeting, this is according to the Brethren movement, how they gathered together, how they understood table meeting or communion. Of course, there are many things we need to correct today, but at the very beginning, the Brethren's attitude is that everything needs to come back to the scripture, how they understood the teaching from scripture was how it set their meeting. Secondly, they followed the living leading of the Holy Spirit. All of them followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. So then naturally, according to their environment, that is how they gathered. And then, as it gathered in such a way, then it became a habit. So you see, this is a very interesting matter. Today, some brothers and sisters who come here, when they pray, I know where they come from. Because their accent comes from that particular location. And immediately I know they came from that gathering. Because there, that is what they were used to. In Seattle, as soon as people leave Seattle, they know, oh, you're from Seattle. This is a natural thing that is formed, a natural habit. It's not a matter of right or wrong. And then after you have these habits, after a long period of time, it becomes a set form. This set form then appears. This is something very naturally that occurs. But here, brothers and sisters, we need to understand what God wants is something that is living. So it's okay that we have differences between different locations. Some people want all the different gatherings to all be unified as one. So like everybody wears a uniform. We want to be united in the uniformity. That how you pray and the form and this way you sing, we want it all to be the same. We all like to do this. We want to have a standard form of our gathering. But brothers and sisters, please remember, we need to honor scripture. There is no model church. There's only revelation. There's only teaching. In scripture, we have the principle. For example, when you read Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, that there were four things, the teaching of the apostles, there was fellowship, there was prayer, and there was communion, the table meeting. There was these four things. The content of church needs to be this. The Bible doesn't tell us how to preach or how we are to have fellowship or how you are to pray or how you are to have table meeting, communion. A lot of people, they try to analyze this. What kind of bread should we have in communion? When you go back to the four gospels, the Lord Jesus also broke bread with them. If this is very important, then the Bible would go in detail about this, right? That the bread needs to have what type of, how much flour, how much water. It would give us a recipe, right? So it would teach you how to make this particular bread. But no, there's no such recipe. And so in table meeting, how are we to carry it out? There is no particular format. In that cup, should it be grape juice? Should it be grape wine? Or what brand does it need to be? Brothers and sisters, look at it. Look at us today when we break bread. How should we do this? At home now. And then you learn from other people. As long as what we have learned, that the people that we learn from, that they learn from scripture, but then we realize there are still some things that were mistakes. We need to be corrected. We do know that we want to gather, right? It tells us that in all locations, I've always used this illustration. It's just like in our individual family lives. In my family life, this is what we do. When my son got married, his family life is different. He doesn't need to follow exactly what his father does. When I go there, I didn't think it was bad. As long as it's living. It came from their life. It came from their environment, from their understanding, from their marriage life. This was the family that came from their life. It's very natural, right? And so today we cannot go to another place and say, why do you do this? Well, not according to my form. This is a very evil, very terrible thing. This goes against life. If you say to your own family members, how can you do this in God's family, in God's house? Yes, there will be many different forms. So So that is why our brothers say unity and variety. This is beautiful. When you go to a different place and they have a different way, that's fine. We also honor the way they gather. We don't want to constantly change everything, change a form. This is the human way of doing things. It's very bad. And so this matter of form has caused many dissensions. Because people say, this is a standard. This is the way things need to be. This is how it is. And then this becomes a reason for why we have denominations today. So brothers and sisters, we need to be very, very careful. And so the Bible only shows us that, yes, we may have different gatherings, but we need to have the same principles. The principles needs to be the same. You need to read God's word. You need the teaching of the apostles. We need to have prayer. We need to have communion to break bread and remember the Lord. These things we need to have, but how you go about it, as long as you do not go beyond the teaching of the Bible, then it needs to be very natural. Now, we've all said that this is how the normal church establishment comes about. Now, brothers do remind us that the first generation of church saints, they lived it out. And oftentimes, the second generation, they copy the first generation. They copy the previous habits, the previous ways of things, and then very naturally, easily, things become tradition, and then it falls into tradition. I do hope, brothers and sisters, that you will think about these things carefully. Think about these things carefully. Don't let these things just pass by. After you have a good habit that you copy, it still needs to be living. When you use a form, you need to know its meaning. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You use a form. For example, we have message meeting. It's very difficult to change a message meeting. Next week, let's say that we don't have a message meeting, and then it's going to be very difficult. And people come to listen to a message, but we don't have the pulpit, and then it's very strange. Because this has become a set form that we don't want to change. And then gradually we try to change. The third week, we're going to change it to a fellowship meeting. We're not going to have a message meeting. And then all of a sudden, fellowship meeting, there's less people because we're all used to just listening to a message. We don't want to fellowship anymore, and so they don't come. So brothers and sisters, to change a habit or a form, a set form, is quite difficult. Oftentimes we say, if you cannot change this matter of preaching at a pulpit, but we say the pulpit is dead, but the person who is giving the message needs to be alive. This today has become some things that we just can't help. So I hope, young brothers and sisters, you will remember that this influence from the past greatly impacts us. I apologize, today I probably cannot finish. I do want to remember one more thing. This is on one aspect, which was that which is normal. But now let me talk about some of the things that are wrong. Now, while the church needs to be established by God, but the enemy is constantly there trying to destroy, he's trying to do his work. And his attacks are very severe. Many children of God have been killed and have been defeated because of this matter of form. And it breaks and destroys the testimony of the church. Now, I don't need to give you too many examples. Now, the Israelites have Judaism. Now, the Catholics have also their Catholic religion, and they have not only killed people outwardly in life. They kill Christians so that Christians can no longer live within the living worship. But we see that the things that are wrong, there's two very important reasons. First, man has misunderstood God's truth. Now, after the Jews had left Mount Sinai, in history, gradually, after they lost the first generation of people who understood the law and the tabernacle, later on, the rabbis, the priests, they came to interpret God's words, which created lots of strange and skewed ways of doing things. These were human misunderstandings. So today, when we explain God's words, we also need to be very careful. You cannot try to explain according to what you like, or what you think, and you teach that which is wrong and bring that among brothers and sisters. And gradually that becomes a wrong teaching, a wrong form. And a lot of people live within that, and then they cannot leave it. It's a very sad and pitiful condition. And so because of time, I can only say this simply. Secondly, in church history, we see that there is this habit of following religion. Now, the Israelites also worshiped the way the Canaanites worshiped and tripped them up. In church history, it's the same. We see how the Catholics worship idols. For Mary, they have made Mary into an idol. Brothers and sisters, we know that Mary, when she held baby Jesus, do you know that statue? Where did that statue come from? If you read about the two Babylons among the Brethren movement, the earliest time, there was an idol, a female idol in Babylon. It was this female goddess who was bearing a child. And it was that particular image that became Mary holding an infant. And then when you come to the Greek culture, gradually, it became another female goddess. And then the Catholics took this female goddess, became Mary holding the infant Jesus. This is how this behavior of following the religious world came about. So now we say our Lord Jesus needs to have a birthday, but the Bible never tells us that Jesus needs to have a birthday, so that now we have Christmas. This is following religion. So now Catholics, all the fathers, all the priests, they have to have this gold chain and they have to have rosary beads. And this is in Confucianism. And so in Christianity, they say, oh, this is pretty good. Let's have this. Let's have some rosary beads. We could chant to Mary or to Jesus. A lot of these religious acts have come into the church, particularly during the time of Constantine. Many of these religious things, because this became a state religion. So all of these religious things came in. The Jews, they followed and copied the Canaanites. Catholics, they followed after pagan religions. And Christianity today cannot completely clear out all of these things, which has become a lot of habits of the church and traditions and forms. But we thank the Lord, 200 to 300 some years ago in the Brethren movement, God gained a group of people who did a great work of recovery. So today we know that the Brethren movement is not complete. There are still many deviations, but at the very beginning, at the outset of the Brethren's, with great diligence, they used truth to try to correct all the mistakes. So today, brothers and sisters, to truly have good form, it needs to be established upon the Bible and the Holy Spirit. So no matter what the outward environment is, we need to follow God's word. If his word enlighten us and show us, And the Holy Spirit also shines His light and shows us what is wrong and we need to be corrected. Then we need to correct it and change. Brothers and sisters, in church history today, we do know that church forms have followed a particular tradition. Some are normal, follow scripture, and some do not. It is because the enemy have come in to break things down. And so today, I can only speak to here. If the Lord allows, then next time, then very practically, we'll talk about in our church life, there are some important points regarding how we gather. If the Lord allows, then we will continue to have more fellowship. And so lastly here, as we follow along these four lines, as we pursue together, regarding memorizing scripture, be diligent in memorizing. If you cannot, it's okay. Read it more. So read it several times more. When we've read to, perhaps after we finish all four chapters, later on, according to the book of Colossians, those important revelations and truths, I will have some fellowship with brothers and sisters. So the next few times, we will share on the book of Colossians. So after you've memorized it and you said that, okay, I've finished my homework, but what I want is that you will be very, very familiar with scripture, because Colossians and Ephesians in the New Testament are two very important books regarding God's original purpose. If these two books, we can understand it, then the rest of scripture you will be able to understand. And so again, I need to hold fast to the time. I apologize, I've passed by 2 minutes. We need to stop here. Let me still open it up for brothers and sisters to have a time to pray. If you're moved in your heart, we do ask that you would lead us in a few concluding prayers, perhaps two or three, brothers and sisters. Shall we pray? Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Only you alone are the true one. It is your life that leads us so that we may follow you all the days of our lives and have this life to express you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, our meeting will conclude here. Let me do mention our next gathering. It will be May. May 29th. May 29th will be our next gathering. I was hoping that the Saints in Seattle, that the young ones can memorize Colossians chapter 2 in English. I don't know if you can be well prepared. We still have time. I do hope that the saints in Seattle, that the young ones in Seattle can memorize Colossians chapter 2. If in other locations, you are diligent in memorizing, because I don't know what the condition is in different locations. Do also let me know if you're willing to also memorize chapter 3 very well, and you want to also lead brothers and sisters to memorize chapter 3. Otherwise, I'll have to connect with you and I'll need to nominate some locations. So May 29th, it will be our next pursuit meeting. And so I say again, in your daily life, brothers and sisters, if you have experiences of teaching, of following the teaching of the anointing, and some good stories and testimonies, we do pray that you can also share with us. May this be an encouragement. I hope that it won't be just brothers and sisters listening to me, but let's have some real practical pursuit that you need to also be included. I know that some of you break off into smaller groups, and that each week you gather together as small groups to mutually encourage. That's good. I hope that our pursuit can really bring in a good spiritual atmosphere. And in this way, we will be greatly blessed by the Lord. Okay, so today we will conclude here. Thank the Lord. The Lord do protect you and keep you in peace. Goodbye.